Hey guys, I'm Valerie.
And I'm Jasmine, and this is Crafts, Drafts, and Crime.
And we want to thank you guys first for continuing to listen. I do want to say that compared to last week's cult, this case is almost uplifting. So I'm not going to depress the shit out of you. You're welcome. There's a little break from that. This one, borderline, is not like a true crime thing. This is going to be kind of more along that informative and interesting. And honestly, I'm going to say this prematurely because we have not done this entire season yet. But what I'm finding so far is this is probably going to be the case for this season that, like, I can see how people join this cult.
Ooh, okay. I'm excited. You know, I have a feeling that I'm going to be one of these people that could probably want to join all these cults at first, except for the last one, you know. Having to buy the semen and do what you do with it and his bathwater, it kind of threw me off.
But yeah, that's not going to happen here.
I'm here for all of the potential cults that I'll be joining.
Yeah, this one, especially because how you are with aliens, I think this one's for sure going to, spoiler alert, I feel like this one is going to rub you in all the right ways.
My alien brothers and sisters, I love it.
Yes. So everybody get excited because that's where we're going with this. I had actually read an interesting article that was talking about different kinds of cults and like UFO extraterrestrial cults is like its own subcategory. And I really wanted to touch on that. And so that's where I came across this and we're just going to go with it. So sources for today. There was an article on religionunplugged.com by Matthew Hendley. I read not all of the book because it was kind of boring to me, I'm going to be honest, but it was called Intelligent Design, which is written by Rael, who is the founder of this cult. He actually has several books, and I can put links if anybody's interested for you guys to, you can read them online as PDFs. And I read, it's like 400 and some odd pages. I read like the first 100. I got a little bored. I skipped toward the end. But
yeah, no, I'll have to skim through it and see.
I skimmed it. But I got a good chunk of information in there, at least, about, you know, his version of events. And then CBS News, CNN, Rael.org, Fox 59 News, National Post, LA Times, Wired, Clitorade.org, BBC News, PureHistory.org, LearnReligions.com, and Best Friend Wikipedia.
Did you say Clitorade?
I did. Okay. This will all make sense later.
I'm so immature. Good.
No, you are actually on the right track.
Shut the fuck up.
Your brain did not go in a direction that it shouldn't have. If you heard Clitorade and your brain went, what the fuck? You are correct. But you will have to hang out because that doesn't come until the end of the story. So.
Okay.
So Claude Vorlin was born on September 30th of 1946 in Vichy, France, and he moved to Paris at age 15 to pursue a singing career, and he actually worked many years doing different cabarets. So Claude became a journalist for a motorsport magazine that he founded in 1970. Since he was a kid, racing was a huge passion of his, and he found that the best way to be involved in it was to do this journalism. It allowed him to eventually drive a race car several times and continue living in the race world via journalism. But on December 13th of 1973, everything changed for Claude. He was doing some light hiking on an inactive volcano in southern France, which was an area that he actually had frequented with his family in the past. And he went towards the center of the crater, which is a place in which he was familiar. When he was younger, they used to do picnics and stuff there. Now, when he went to leave and begin the trek back to his car, a large object with flashing red lights appeared overhead in the fog. Though it was really nearby, Claude heard no sound. He described it as a flying saucer with a flat bottom and a cone-shaped top. A very bright white light shined down from the top of the UFO. And on it is what became Raelian's symbol, which is the Star of David, which is like symbolic of the infinity because it has like an upward and a downward point. So they made that interpreted to infinity. And then it intertwined with a swastika, which symbolized cyclic time that is ever changing but never ending. So essentially what they say is it means infinity of time and space. So I'm going to read to you some direct quotes from this book throughout this because it, how do I say this? I feel like a summary of what happened is not sufficient. Like, I'll have a lot of quotes in this first section specifically because you have to hear it in his own words. Because I mean, I can't make this shit up. Let's just say that.
I'm so excited.
So when this UFO approaches the area that he's in this crater, this is what he says. Quote, "A trapdoor opened beneath the machine and a kind of stairway unfolded to the ground. I realized that some living being was about to appear and I wondered what it was going to look like. First, 2 feet appeared, then 2 legs, which reassured me a little, since apparently I was about to meet a man. In the event, what I first took to be a child came down the stairway and walked straight towards me. I could see then that this was certainly no child, even though the figure was only about 4 feet, 1.2 meters tall. His eyes were slightly almond-shaped, his hair was black and long, and he had a small black beard. I still had not moved, and he stopped about 10 meters away from me. He wore some sort of green one-piece suit, which covered his entire body, and although his head seemed to be exposed, I could see around it a strange sort of halo. It was not really a halo, but the air around his face shone slightly and shimmered. It looked like an invisible shield, like a bubble, so fine that you could barely see it. His skin was white with a slightly greenish tinge, a bit like someone with liver trouble." So I actually had to look up, and green jaundice is a thing, which I just recently learned. Yeah, I didn't know that. It's not very common, and it's mostly like a yellow green. Also, just based on that description, I read it to David, and he laughed so fucking hard, and he described Parappa the rapper, onion without hair, which I had Jasmine look up.
Yes.
And I'm going to put that on Instagram for everybody to see so that you can, like, just stop right here and take a look at that picture and be like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yes, no, definitely. I just looked up green jaundice. Yeah, I don't like that at all.
No, it's quite a bit different. And, I mean, just the whole thing. I mean, I can, like, I can't imagine what I would do if something like that approached me.
No, definitely. I feel like I would be one of these idiots. Like, right now, I could sit there and be like, oh, yeah, I'd turn around and get the fuck out of there. But no, I'd be, like, just, like, in the movie, you just see that one person who just won't get the fuck out of there. They just stand there and stare with their mouth, like, wide open.
Right.
I'd be like, oh, what the fuck am I looking at? Also, the way he described this alien doesn't make sense to me.
What do you
Maybe
mean?
It's because I have my own version of what an alien looks like.
Okay. What is an alien look
my
like?
My version is your typical, he's not even green, he's like gray.
Yeah.
And with the big eyes, like, okay, so you know, like, the aliens that everybody just, like, the green ones with, like, the weird, like, the teardrop-shaped head and
yeah,
the long limbs. I think of that, but I think of them as gray, like a metallic gray.
Okay.
And then they actually have a suit on, though, like some kind of like it almost reminds me of like Xenon. Did you ever watch Xenon?
Actually,
on
yes.
Disney?
Yes.
Like, I feel like it would be dressed like that.
Well, this guy's like wearing whatever, a one-piece green suit.
I mean, I don't know, I feel like there would be like more metallic colors and like black. Like, okay. He would have a collar on his, like, a metallic collar. I'm gonna have to draw it. You talked me into it.
So I picture aliens, you know, with the big eyes, but I also picture them with, like, their fingers have balls at the end.
Yes, that okay. Is true. Yes.
Where did I get that from? Is that from, like, The Simpsons or something? Because I remember, like, alien episodes of The Simpsons, and apparently it scared me when I was younger, because for some reason it stuck with me.
Yeah, so, like, that, or even, like, did you ever see, like, American Dad? Don't they have the alien in it?
Oh, I don't know.
I think they're the ones with the alien, and if I'm not mistaken, that alien has, like, balls at the end of its fingers, but it has, like, this ginormous fucking, like, head. Like, okay. Literally, like, it goes, like, back, like, long, bad. Okay, anyways, but yeah, that's what I think of an alien as.
Okay, well, you know, we're obviously both wrong, because this guy legitimately met the aliens, right? And so, like, this is what they actually look like. And so, and, like, from there on, they exchange a lot of words, which to me sounded kind of like what a movie script of meeting an alien would sound like. And so the alien went on to tell Claude that, like, they've been communicating with him telepathically. So they're the ones that told him to come to this spot, even though, you know, it's winter time. And he invited Claude inside of their spaceship so that they could have a chat. So the alien said, and I quote, "Listen to me carefully. You will tell human beings about this meeting, but you will tell them the truth about what they are and what we are. Judging from their reactions, we will know if we can show ourselves freely and officially. Wait until you know everything before you start speaking publicly. Then you will be able to defend yourself properly against those people who will not believe you, and you will be able to bring them incontestable proof. You will write down everything I tell you and publish the writings as a book." So Claude's like, okay, but why'd you pick me? So the alien was like, okay, quote, "For many reasons. First of all, we needed someone in a country where new ideas are welcomed and where it is possible to talk about such ideas openly. Democracy was born in France, and this country has a reputation the world over for being the country of freedom. Also, we needed someone who is intelligent and quite open to everything. Above all, we needed someone who is a free thinker without being anti-religious. Because you are born of a Jewish father and a Catholic mother, we consider you to be an ideal link between two very important peoples in the history of the world. Besides, your activities do not in any way predispose you to making incredible revelations, and this will make your words all the more credible. Since you are not a scientist, you will not complicate things and will explain them simply. Not being a literary man, you will compose elaborate sentences which are difficult to read for a great many people. Finally, we decided to choose someone who was born after the first atomic explosion in 1945, and you were born in 1946. We have, in fact, been following you since birth and even before. This is why we have chosen you."
Okay. Yes. I'm trying to think. So, like, the only thing I could, like, really think of while you were telling me about this was, there's like, and this might not have anything to do with what you just said, but there's like this filter on, I think it was TikTok, where it's like how you can see, like, basically you just like put it out, like you can just like move your camera wherever, whether it's outside or inside or whatever, and it's supposed to show you everything you can't see. Because I guess, like, the human eyes can only see, like, a very minute amount compared to what you should be able to see, like, all around us. Does that make sense?
Do you mean, like, colors, or do you mean, like, you see below the earth and you see worms that you can't see?
Right, yeah, like that. And, like, if you look up in the sky, you see, like, literally everything that's out there in the universe.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it sounds, I'm going to have to find it, I'm going to send it to you, because, like, I know you're scared of, like, I know, like, black holes are not your thing, but I feel like this would make it even worse for you.
But thanks. Yeah, so, yeah, that sounds great, let's do it.
Let me just torment you some more. No, but, like, I just feel like this is, I'm weird, because, like, I kind of believe that. Like, okay. There's so much other shit we don't see out there. And I feel, because, like, I guess what I'm trying to get at is, like, wasn't it verified by, like, the government that aliens really do exist?
I don't know, man. I don't believe in aliens. I am going to stand right here on this stool and tell you that I do not believe in aliens. And you can stand on yours and tell everybody that you do.
Oh, my God. I feel like, okay, do you remember when everybody, there was this whole thing going around social media about people storming Area 51?
Yes.
Okay, I feel like around that time is when, like, the government, quote unquote, actually, like, stated that aliens are real, like, UFOs are real. So, like, ever since then, like, I've just, like, my belief in aliens has gotten so much stronger.
I guess, I mean, here's the thing, is the idea of other life existing somewhere is not unfathomable. Like, yeah, we can't be the only people, right? However, the idea of somebody to come to visit our planet doesn't make sense to me. That's where that disconnect happens for me. I'm like, if life exists somewhere else, I don't understand what the hell he would do coming over here.
When you say that, like, that makes me think, like, I would think they're coming over here to kind of, like, I guess, like, in a way, like, like, study us, or, like, yeah, like, study us, or whenever they, quote, unquote, take people with them, like, to experiment on them. So, I know you never watched American Horror Story, but I'm sure we have other people who have that listen to us. So, it's for you guys, because I love AHS. The second season, the main character, he, like, gets taken by aliens, and he gets, like, probed and all this shit. And then, like, yeah, it's just, yeah, I feel like it's possible that they're just here, like, studying us and our habits.
You are 100% going to be the kind of person that would fall into this cult. I'm just saying that. No, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I totally can understand where you're coming from, but I feel like the more that I continue, I feel like my goal has changed from educating everybody and to just straight up convincing you to join this cult.
All right, guys, I'm gone. Peace out.
So Claude asks, why, you know, to these aliens, like, why did you come to Earth? Like, why are you doing this? And the alien says, quote, to monitor and watch over the development of humanity. Human beings on Earth are the future. We are the past. And he then is instructed to return to the same location the next day, but to bring a Bible and a notebook with him and not to speak to anybody about their conversation yet. So the next day, Claude does exactly that. He brings his Bible and his notebook and he shows back up in the crater. And the alien explains to him that scientists on their planet had tried to create life forms in test tubes. So in one instance, an animal had actually been created, got loose, and killed several people. So this led to a change in their experiments, and the government essentially shut them down. So they weren't allowed to do these experiments anymore on their own planet. But the scientists chose a different planet then to perform their experiments. So they chose Earth. So the aliens begin explaining to Claude pieces of the Bible that tell this story. And I'm going to skip over a lot here. I'm going to be honest, because otherwise I have to read the entire fucking book to you guys, and I'm not doing it. Like I said, I can tell you where you can find this, but I'm going to give you a couple pieces where I'm like, huh, that's interesting. What, you know, where these links start to make sense. They're essentially saying that genetic engineering created life on Earth. So the very first instance that they do of this is all in the book of Genesis. So in Genesis 1:1, it says, quote, in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. Well, in Hebrew, Elohim means God, which means those who came from the sky. So this is indicative of more than one person, and therefore shows how the aliens, which, by the way, I'm still going to call them aliens, discovered that Earth could have artificial life. So in Genesis 1:2, it says, quote, and the spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. So per the alien, this means they set up satellites to watch and study Earth. In Genesis 1:9, it says, quote, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. So the alien says that this means, and I quote, after they studied the surface of the ocean, they studied the seabed and determined that it was not very deep and fairly even everywhere. So then, by means of fairly strong explosions, which acted rather like bulldozers, they raised matter from the bottom of the seas and piled it up into one place to form a continent. Originally, there was only one continent on Earth, and your scientists have recently acknowledged that all the continents, which have drifted apart over many years, used to fit perfectly into one another to form one landmass. So he goes on to explain how they created things like vegetables, animals, food, seasons, dinosaurs, like everything. And they explain the tree of life, Adam and Eve, like they don't miss anything. They have an answer for everything. Since a lot of people consider the Bible to be interpretations of stories and events, I can see how this could persuade people into believing these interpretations.
Absolutely, because he was like spot on like everything, and it's like so. Here's another thing I'm gonna go off on. Sorry, but this is really interesting. This is really interesting. So like, okay, so the whole idea, like, I know this is a real thing. It's been proven, whatever. But like the whole idea of all of the continents being one. That is just so crazy to me.
Yeah.
Because every single continent, country, state, what, you know, all of that jazz, they're all different. So, like, I'm trying to imagine, like, how that would affect everything if we were all still together as one. Like, would we all be the same? Would we all be different?
I would think that we would all still be different, but it just, you know, a lot of, I mean, the actual geography of it all would be incredibly different because, you know, the way that it's spread out now is that things have gone in different sides of the equator and things have moved, you know what I mean? It would depend on where that landmass fell and if it, like, moved at all, if it shifted at all as one whole. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just so, like, this was the one part in, like, geography class that I actually, like, kind of paid attention to. What was, like, kind of interesting. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like that would be, like, really cool. But at the same time, I don't know. But, yeah, anyways, sorry. That was completely random. But
no, I'm with you on that. And he does go through a lot of the Bible in this book, which is where I started skimming. Because, I mean, they have an explanation for everything. But, you know, so if that's something that's interesting to you and you would be like, oh, shit, I wonder what this interpretation is, absolutely read it. It's free. But towards the end of the book, Claw gets a better explanation as to why he was chosen also, which the alien says, quote, "The person whom you look upon as your father was not your real father. After the explosion at Hiroshima, we decided that the time had come for us to send a new messenger on Earth. He would be the last prophet, but the first one to address mankind, asking them to understand and not to believe. We then selected a woman, as we had done in the time of Jesus. This woman was taken aboard one of our ships and inseminated as we had done with the mother of Jesus. She was freed after we had totally erased her memory from all traces of what happened. But before all of this had happened, we had arranged so that she would meet a man who could support the child financially and would raise him decently. This man had to be from a different religion than that of the woman so that the child could be raised without strong religious conditioning. This is why the man who you took as a father and believed he truly was a Jew. Your real father is also the father of Jesus, and that makes you brothers."
Wow.
Any thoughts on that?
So he is saying that he's Jesus's brother.
That's correct. Half-brother.
Half-brother. What the fuck?
Yes, and then he is given the name Rael, which means Lord of the Light. In addition to more books with more information about his encounters and his interpretations of the Bible and of humankind's creation, he also had lectures called Intelligent Design for Atheists, Extraterrestrials Created All Life on Earth. And they were hosted for people to attend and to learn more. And his first time holding a public conference in France was September 19th of 1974, and over 2,000 people attended.
Huh. I see why.
It's interesting. It's definitely interesting. And I can understand. Sorry, I just hit my mic really hard. That was really evident. I can understand. I have to talk with my hands, even though I'm talking like just at my screen right now. But I know you guys are listening, so I feel like I have to be expressive. I can understand how people could be persuaded by something like this, especially if they're not like 100% into the scientific aspect of life, or if they don't believe in God. I can understand how they find this happy medium in here and are like, this makes more sense to me.
So, yeah, definitely. And I feel like back then also, a lot of people were very... how can I say this? Like, they were really, like, I guess, into the Bible. Like, I feel like it was more, like, I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I just feel like with him, like, attributing all this to, like, what the alien told him and it being directly, like, with the Bible, like, that also would have enticed a lot of people to go to these meetings as well.
Right. Right. He's not disregarding the Bible, which is
going right. To it's almost like if they were, like, Christianity or, you know, whatever. Basically, just the Bible itself was directly involved into this whole thing. And that was another thing to appeal all these people to go to. And then people who, you know, believed in aliens, such as myself, would go for that aspect.
Right.
Of the whole thing.
Right. I agree.
Fuck. I want to do this now.
So he started calling this whole thing the Raelian movement. And so their religion then would be considered Raelism. And he describes it as, quote, atheist intelligent design, which is the scientific creation of life on Earth, performed by an advanced human civilization from another planet. So that's exactly what Raelians support. But this also includes cloning. So, like, where, you know, last episode, you know, we kind of went into a huge crime streak that was awful to talk about, and what future cases like this kind of start to look like that we're going to be talking about. This one's taking a different turn. And so in his book, Rell says, quote, "The birth of Dolly the sheep was a landmark event in human scientific history, and it then became clear that very soon the cloning of human beings would become fairly commonplace. Just as the Elohim's planet, cloning on Earth will become a means for human beings to achieve eternal life. After Dolly the Sheep was cloned in 1997, I initiated a project called Clonaid to bring attention to the issue of human cloning. Soon after, Dr. Brigitte Baselier, a brilliant scientist and Raelian bishop, took over the project and created the company." So in terms of living an eternal life, Rael's logic is that they will work scientifically to transfer memory and personality information to an individual, like, their specific clone, which would allow them to live eternally. So basically, like, I would take your personality and your memory and put it, like, transfer it to your specific clone that's going to be 100% copy of your DNA. And therefore, you would be able to continue to live.
So, I feel like I've seen a movie where it was kind of along the same lines as this. Like, once your body was, like, you, like, wrecked your body, like, they could take your memories and everything and put it into the second body.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like sure. I've seen a movie like that. But I also wanted to say I'm down with this.
Oh, you are?
I'm down with this only because I am terrified of dying. I mean, I know everybody is. I don't know, nobody's ready for it. Like, maybe some people might be ready. But, like, the idea of literally closing my eyes one day and never waking back up, like, I feel like, obviously, so I had this conversation with John, like, a couple weeks ago. And it was just, like, he's like, well, you know, when you're dead, like, your conscience is gone. Like, you're not thinking. There's nothing. It's just done. And I said, I know, but, like, the idea of it, like, the idea that maybe I'd be that one in a million person who would, like, close my eyes and still have a conscience and still be thinking, like, when the fuck am I going to wake up?
Okay. So it's not so much that you're afraid of not waking back up, is that you're afraid of being aware that you're not waking back up.
Right. And it's like, what the hell am I going to do for the rest of my life if I can't wake up? So, like, I know you would want
a clone of yourself seems like an appropriate solution to you.
Yeah, just clone me and then take my memories and put them in the clone, and then there I am. I wake up again, and then I'm like brand new.
Okay, so you are 100% into this cult.
Yeah,
this is what I'm saying.
I'm invested. I'm a member now, guys.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. It's very easy to see how people could fall into this because it's already happening. So, on December 26th of 2002 at 11:55 a.m., Eve, a 7-pound baby, was born. Well, according to Dr. Baselier, Eve is the first ever human clone of a 31-year-old woman. So this woman had donated DNA, and once the cloning process took place, the embryo was then implanted in her for her to carry and to give birth to. Her child would therefore also be her genetic twin. The problem is, in addition to any kind of ethical or religious problem that people might have with this, which you do not have, but there's also no physical proof of it that Bosselier was able to provide. So the location of the birth and the identity of the mother have never been disclosed. And scientifically, it would be incredibly easy to prove or disprove this with DNA testing, which Clone Aid refused. But they refused in a way that makes people still believe in it. So Rael, who is very adamant that Clone Aid and realism are separate, but they just support each other, says that in court, a court in Florida ordered, for baby Eve to be taken away from her mother in order to protect her. So Rael responded with, quote, "To take away this poor baby from a mother just because she was cloned, I think that is completely crazy. I understand when you take away children because the mother or family abuse a child or when there is violence, but just because she's a clone? So I called Dr. Bosselier and I said, if I was you, I would not test anything." So during an interview, which was recorded by CNN, Paul Begala called Rael out on this BS, basically asking, like, why would they not show any kind of proof of the incident? And told Rael, like, people are going to be skeptical if you don't try to show any kind of evidence of this. So Rael responded with, quote, "If there is any risk that this baby is taken away from the family, it's better to lose your credibility. Don't do the testing, because what is important is the child and not to prove to the world that you are right. And I think that she agreed with me." I just want to say, what Rael is arguing is basically that because of ethics, this doctor would not want the child to be taken away, like, away from its mother. But if we're really talking about ethics, we probably wouldn't be cloning a child.
That is true. That is true. I do see that also. Like, I'm, you know, I would want you to be able to prove that you really did this too. Like, if I was a doctor, I'd be wanting to be able to boast about it. Like, yeah, bitch, I did this.
Right. And also, just what kind of doctor is going to be like, oh yeah, well, first of all, ethics clearly aren't her priority here.
Right.
And why would her credibility not be important in this case? Her credibility would definitely be more important than the ethics of this.
Right.
But that's exactly my opinion. That's my opinion. People believe that this has really happened. And, you know, a lot of people also think it's super cool, you included, the idea of
having a clone. I do think it's cool, but I also, like, I also think it's cool because I do also believe somewhat in, like, reincarnation as well.
Okay.
Just the way I was raised and stuff. Like, I do believe that. Like, you hear stories of, like, these fucking, like, 3 and 4 year olds who can talking about how they knew they died in, like, our car accident in 1946.
Yeah, that scares the shit out of me. Yeah, no, that's scary.
It does. It really does. It scares me too. So, like, I believe, like, you know, I think maybe that's part of the reason why I would be okay with cloning in a way.
I get that. But what I also want to remind you, and what I want to remind everybody, actually, is that scientifically, the consequences of cloning could be very dangerous for a human. We don't know if a clone would age prematurely or if they would suffer any kind of disease or disorder based on its genetics. So I talked previously about farm animals that have been cloned, like Dolly the sheep. Well, a lot of them had experienced neurological issues and have had tumors and other sorts of health issues.
Gotcha.
So the idea of cloning a human then.
So what you're telling me is don't believe in the aliens and don't get in this cult. What I should do is find a vampire and then I'll be fine forever.
There you know what? You can interpret this however the hell you want.
So I'm going to do. I'm going to go find me an Edward Cullen and then I'm going to be fucking invincible. Proceed.
Okay. You do that. But I do not recommend being supportive of cloning, no matter which way you are looking at it. You can totally believe that this happened. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's your, you know, that's your prerogative. You do what you want to do. I am just saying that it could have some very detrimental consequences that, you know, also would make me curious. Like, if this is going to be an experiment, then I want proof that it happened. And I also want to know the future for this child and see how dangerous this is, which is another reason why I don't believe it. Because if it were to happen in 2002, why would they not want to be able to say that this was successful and that this child didn't suffer from, you know, A, B, and C and did not prematurely age and things like this?
Right. I supported cloning, or I like the idea of it, but in adults, not in kids.
Okay.
That's a hard pass for me.
So Bagala is basically like, to Rael, he's like, how do you expect people to believe this? And he calls it a publicity stunt, and Rael responds with, quote, I am one more time not involved in the company. I don't know where's the laboratory. I don't want to know where the laboratory is. I don't want to know the scientists. That is her business. She will make a lot of money, I hope, with that. But we, as a religious organization, don't want to be involved in any company, but we support her. Why do we support cloning? Because thanks to cloning, you will soon give the world eternal life. Which, okay, whatever. So, so then, according to Rael's website, I just want to talk a little bit more about, like, the parts of when you actually do join this cult, because now I feel like you're already ready to do that. On his website, it says, quote, you will learn what science discovers about people who are happy and about human consciousness. You will learn how to cultivate inner peace and health through simple meditation skills and techniques. You will discover how to cultivate happiness and to keep it forever. And the way that you start out by doing this is with a 6-day retreat that is called the Happiness Academy. So basically, it starts with an opening ceremony, and this is a 6-day retreat. It's an opening ceremony and then 24 hours of fasting. So during the retreat, attendees have many sessions in which they, quote, masturbate the brain, which they do through meditation and dance. So they encourage everybody to be topless, to go nude, whatever. So attendees are supposed to drink a lot of water so that they're able to, quote, pee out their hatred. So when it's just let it sit. We are masturbating our brains.
Finish, and then when you finish, I got a lot to say.
We are masturbating our brains and peeing out our hatred, okay? It sounds fantastic. And when it's finally time to break the fast, each attendee is given an apple. So after meditation, they are guided to experience the apple through their senses one at a time. So first through sight, then through smell, and then by taste. But the first bite is long, and everyone holds a piece in their mouth to get a full taste of the apple's juices. And at that point, they are served a vegan meal. And some attendees continue to fast if they wish. So throughout the retreat, attendees learn Raelian teachings, and they speak with others about how they came to their beliefs. So I've already told you that you can, you know, download these books and whatever. What I have not already told you is that you can also listen to the meditations, which I did actually go through a couple of them and just listen to a few minutes of them. It's interesting. If you're into meditation, it might actually really work for you. And also, he has his own music on there for free. So rael.org, if any of this is interesting to you, like, you can totally go all in on this and view a lot of his stuff completely free. But I also do want to mention that there's a documentary that's called The Happiness Academy. It is not based on real events entirely. So because of its fictional elements, I did not watch this for this. So if you're looking to learn more about the cult, I do not recommend watching that. However, if you just find this interesting and you also want something that's mostly fictional, that's kind of related to it, that could be a good route for you. So, Raelians also have what are essentially free love sensual meditation retreats. So, during this, people are free to sleep with whomever they want, but jealous and possessive behaviors are not allowed. So people are able to decline any relations with anyone, and wearing protective condoms are necessary as compared to other condoms. I don't know why I said it like that. I'm sorry. But long story short, they have a lot of sex. So Rael also founded Clitoraid. Here's your moment.
Right. Here's my part. Let's do this.
It is a nonprofit organization that works to reconstruct the clitoris for women who have suffered from genital mutilation. So it's actually really cool. So these surgeries have been successfully performed in the U.S. and France, but they also had a desired location in Burkina Faso, which is in Africa, which is really central to where a lot of this occurs. But due to religious discrimination and controversy, they actually were not able to open that location. And so there have been other times where people have tried to do and have successfully done, actually, reconstruction for, mutilated genitals. But they are, like, the first ones to try to, like, give women their pleasure back by also not just reforming their entire genital area, but also giving them their clitoris back. So it's kind of a cool company.
That is so awesome, because I know that I've heard of some of the countries in Africa who do that to women. And it's always been like, that's really sad, but that's honestly, I would have never thought to have done anything like that.
It's pretty incredible, and especially because it works. But it, and you know, I read this, there was this one account, because I went on, so their website, clitoride.org, you can read kind of about what they've been doing and stuff like that, and you can read different testimonies. And there was a girl on there who was talking about her sister actually died because of the mutilation that happened to her. They cut too deep and she bled out. So she ended up being able to get this reconstructive surgery later on in her life, and she was very grateful for it and what have you. But it's actually a really interesting organization. I love that it's not for profit, and it's a good cause. Honestly, it's a really interesting good cause. They also have some other, like, really awesome views. So, like, they're super for LGBTQ rights, birth control rights, sex and masturbation rights. They actually do this entire thing for topless women rights. They think that because men can walk around topless, women should be able to walk around topless. And they actually do, like, different parades and stuff like that for this. They're very anti-war and obviously anti-genital mutilation. They think gender is fluid, and they think consent is always necessary. So I totally get how people can be on board with this, because that's awesome.
Are they still, like, an active cult?
They are. Right now, there's an estimated 100,000 followers worldwide.
Okay. So
you are not joining.
Can I go back to, like, certain points that you said as far as, like, joining the cult?
Of course.
Okay, so my first problem is the 24-hour fast. Nah. A bitch gotta eat. We gotta eat. I don't think I can do that.
Okay.
Second, what was the other one? The apple. Like, that's all you're going to give me after 24 hours of not eating?
They get a vegan meal also. They get a vegan meal. They just start with the apple.
I mean, the vegan meal. Like, but it's a vegan meal. And no shade to vegans. No shade. No shade at all. But let's be real. I don't want a fucking apple. I don't want to have to look at it. And then I don't want to have to hold a piece. I know I'm going to be hungry as hell. So you think I want to just hold it in my mouth for a little bit?
So it's actually, I'm glad you said that, actually, because it's supposed to be, like, a really, what's the word for it? Like, it's supposed to be, like, the best tasting thing you've ever tasted, because you haven't eaten in 24 hours. So right. Then, like, this appreciation for this apple is just, like, the most astronomical, amazing tasting apple you could ever imagine. But yeah, no, I mean, I would hate to fast for 24 hours. People do it all the time, though. So,
yeah.
Props to them.
Yeah. No, what was it? No jealousy and no
possession. You can't be possessive of a partner if you're having sexual relations with somebody at one of these seminars.
Right. That's a no go for me too.
Great. I'm very much a monogamous person, but I think that the idea of that being able to go there and freely, and of course, you know, they're LGBTQ friendly, so it's very much like you can, if you want to be a man who, you know, approaches a man, that's a very, it's a very acceptable thing to do here, which is great. It's a great place for people to have lots of protected sex with whoever they want.
I'll rethink that part. I'll rethink it. I'm trying to think, there was something else that you said, but I forgot.
Well, there still is a little bit more for joining.
Okay, hit me.
There's a fee. Sort of. Uh-oh. Sort of. So, you know, every time we talk about a cult, we talk about how, you know, they have to give up so many of their possessions or they give them all their money. This is actually really interesting to me because they recommend giving 10% of your income, which is really not a lot because a lot of religions take donations and most cults require all of your income. So 10% of your income goes to them, but it's not enforced. So even if it was 10% of your income that's donated to this cult, Rael himself only keeps 1% and the rest goes to the organizations and the seminars and the teachings.
That's pretty cool.
So he's not just trying to like get rich and do like some shady shit like some of these other people are in some of these other cults that we're going to talk about. So I actually do kind of have some respect for that, but also this is not one of those cults where you can't leave like their compound. Like, you can live at your home. It's a movement. You can live at your own home and be involved in this religious movement without having to give your entire life and all of your money and all of your possessions to it, which is a interesting. It's essentially a religion that's classified as a cult because of, you know, just how insane it is. They also have a hierarchy. So level 0 is considered a trainee. Level 1 is considered an assistant organizer. Level 2 is an organizer. Level 3 is assistant priest. Level 4 is priest. Level 5 is bishop. And level 6 is where Rael himself is, and he's considered a guide. So Rael decides on the bishops and priests, and then the bishops and priests elect lower levels for promotion during the annual seminar. So they're the ones who choose levels 1 through 3. And so they also, you also have to be baptized if you're going to join the Raelian movement. And so to what they consider to be baptized is nothing like sitting in their bath water or doing a ritual like that. It's actually very simple. You just have to formally disaffiliate yourself from other churches. So you can only do it on 4 days of the year. And then you go through this, you know, the ceremony for it. And then that's it.
Huh. So it's actually quite simple. Really easy.
It does seem really easy. So currently there are about 84 countries that are involved in the Raelian movement. And in Japan in 2010, they actually opened up the first temple, which is called Korindo, which is dedicated to Raelism. So, and then I told you already that there's about 100,000 followers worldwide. And that is the Raelian movement. That is all the information that I have for you today about that. It's a very interesting, did not take an ugly turn cult. It's the only one probably that you're going to get like that. So,
yeah. So can we say they have about 100,001 followers?
I can completely understand. I'll link all this stuff in the show notes so that you guys can go ahead and check out that website where you can find the free downloads for the book and for the music and the meditations. I can completely understand how people can follow this cult. Sometimes, you know, we reach it like this and I'm like, I don't understand it all. But this one, I'm like, right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Like, the nonprofits are amazing.
They
like,
are.
It's awesome. That's right. Like half the reason right there.
Right. Well, and you don't have to give your entire life.
Right. You can still do your own thing. Right. But it's like you said, it's a religion, basically. Like,
right.
You go there on whatever days, and then that's, yeah, I can get down with that.
Right. You just also have to believe in UFOs and extraterrestrials that created life, which you already do. So, perfect.
I know. Look at that. Oh my God.
They interpreted the Bible a completely different way, and, you know, it makes sense as for what he said. So, you know, if that's your thing. It's not my thing, but I understand how it could be somebody's thing.
It's my thing. I'm joining.
It's definitely your thing.
I'll let you guys know how it goes.
So it is very fascinating, though. So if you are interested in that at all, or if, you know, if you are familiar with the Bible, I'm not incredibly familiar with the Bible, but if you are, you know, and you've read it, then maybe reading, you know, these interpretations of it, even if it's against your beliefs, might be interesting to you just to kind of see how they come up with these contrasting ideas to what you already believe in. If you're just the kind of person that likes, you know, moral debates and stuff like that, I mean, I find it interesting. So, but all that will be linked in the show notes so you can go ahead and get access to that really easy. So
yeah, for sure. I would definitely like to like cross-reference like shit from the Bible.
It's very interesting. And it's all in there.
That'd be really cool.
They have all the Bible quotes that they refer to in there. So you don't even have to like have your own stuff ready to, nice. You know, so it'll tell you the, you know, this is the quote that they said, this is, you know, what their interpretation of it is, or well, what they're saying the actual meaning of it is. I'm going to call it an interpretation, but yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. It's pretty interesting, honestly. I still am not going to recommend for anybody to join a cult ever, but but this does seem to be a very non-dangerous cult. So if you were going to follow one, I guess do this.
listen to Valerie before you listen to me, because if you listen to me, we're probably joining all of these cults. So
yes, so definitely check out that in the show notes. You can find pictures from this episode on our Instagram at
Crafts, Drafts, and Crime.
We do all of our updates on Facebook at
Crafts, Drafts, and Crime.
You can follow us on Twitter at
Crafts and Crime.
You can check out our Patreon at
Crafts, Drafts, and Crime.
Or you can send us one of your own stories or a suggestion. Anything like that that you fancy at our email at
CraftsDraftsAndCrime@gmail.com.
And if you use Apple, please rate and review us. We appreciate it. And just most importantly, if you're not going to do anything else, just keep listening. We totally appreciate it. And we hope that you are enjoying the season on cults. We hope you enjoyed this breather. this little less depressing breather. It's not going to continue like that. It's going to get really ugly next week. So just be prepared for that. And yeah, until next time. Bye.
Bye.